والسلام على رسول الله. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. So inshallah we continue now, or we go into the discussion of the actions, personal actions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. How he to behave as a person, which doesn't mean or have to be that those actions were legislative actions, which means they were not necessarily actions that we are required to imitate them in them, even though some of them, as we see, are actions that we should imitate him as much as we can in them, but many of them are not. And as I said also, that if one tries to imitate him for the sake of imitating the Prophet ﷺ, that he wants to look like him in any one of these actions, even though they are not worship actions, then he may be rewarded for that. Allahu A'lam. But there is, this matter is a controversial matter among the scholars of Islam, and we know that Umar radiallahu anhu, for example, was against people being too excessive in that, whereas his son Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, was more into this. So in addition to the one of the actions that we discussed in the previous lecture was his walking, the way he walked. In addition to that, we'll discuss a few more now. Ibn Abbas, in regard to the kuhl of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, putting zakawah, can read it, inshallah, kuhl, or using, you know what is kuhl, is the eye lining that has antimony in it. So that is the kuhl, the only kuhl that they used to use. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as is reported by Ibn Abbas, اكتحلوا بالإثمد فإنه يجلو البصر ويمبت الشعر, which means use ithmid, antimony, as an eyeliner, because it clears the eyesight and grows the hair. It helps the hair grow and it clears the eyesight. I'm not sure, probably the hair of the eyes, of the eyelashes, because that's where you put it, that's what I'm assuming, Wallahu A'lam. Well, that's a good question. Okay. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same thing. He reports the same hadith like Ibn Abbas, but he says, عليكم بالإثمد عند النوم, which means use antimony at the time of sleep for the same reasons. And there are similar reports from Ibn Umar and others. As you see, that these reports do not say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use antimony or on his eyes, but he recommended it. There is a weak report, a very weak report, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have a small bottle of kuhl, and he used to use it before going to sleep. But this is weak. Okay, the attire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salama radiallahu anha said, "Kana ahabba al-thiyab ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam yalbasuhu al-khamis." The كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله يلبسه, أي أحب الثياب يلبسه القميص, which means the most favored items of clothing that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear was the shirt, and قميص or shirt means the long shirt like the thobe that we wear these days. Maybe it's not exactly in this design, but it is. This is the long shirt, a shirt that covers both parts of the body, the upper and the lower part, and there is no need in that case to wear an izar or an rida like they more commonly used to wear, which is rida, something like people wear in Hajj, something for the upper side, for the upper half of the body, and something to cover the lower half of the body. That's called rida and izar. So that was not his favorite items of clothing, but his favorite item was the qamis. And yeah, in today's terminology, when we say qamis in Arabic, they understand the dress shirt, the shirt that you wear, and so on. The dress that you share with the that you wear with pants or something like that. But this is not the correct understanding in their time of the qamis or the shirt. Okay, so the qamis is the long qamis that goes down to the at least the middle of the shins. At least the middle of the shins. Next hadith is reported by Muawiyah ibn Qurra from his father that he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a group of people from Madyana to give him bay'ah, which means they wanted to support him and to embrace Islam, So they came to him for that purpose. وَإِنَّ قَمِيصَهُ لَمُطْلَقٌ أَوْ قَالَ زِرَّ قَمِيصِهِ مُطْلَقٌ وَإِنَّ زِرَّ قَمِيصِهِ مُطْلَقٌ قال فأدخلت يدي في جيب قميصه فلمست الخاتم. And this, you know, is hard to visualize to some degree, to a little bit. He says, we came to him with this group of people, and we saw that his shirt was open. His shirt was open or untied. And now the question comes, how did they wear their clothes at that time? Did they have buttons like we have now? Or did they tie them like they tie them in the, you know, some of these hospital shirts that they wear in the hospitals over your clothes? How did they wear them? And wear the buttons from the front or the back? Allahu A'lam. But the description here seems to mean that they used to wear, to use buttons, and that the buttons were on the back side, and maybe there were not many buttons, maybe just one button to hold the shirt together. So he says, I came to him and his shirt was, or the button on his shirt was not closed or tied. So in other words, the back side of his shirt was open. And he says, فَأَدْخَلْتُ يَدِي فِي جَيْبِ قَمِيسٍ. I inserted my hand through the opening in his shirt. فَرَمَسْتُ الْخَاتِمِ. And I was able to touch the seal. And the seal is the seal of prophethood that I skipped discussing it for the hope of discussing it at a later point and describing it. So it's like a big mole that was on the back of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says, I touched that through the opening in his shirt. So this shows that Rasulullah ﷺ used to wear a shirt, and his shirt, he used to have it sometimes open. He did not care to close it all the way. Okay. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان شاكيا فخرج وهو يتكئ على أسامة بن زيد عليه ثوب قطري قد توشح به فصلى بهم. Which means that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was sick, and we don't know whether this was the final illness after which he died or something before it, some other time before it, but probably it was the last. And he came out, which means from his house into the masjid, reclining on or supporting himself on Usama bin Zayd. Usama bin Zayd. And he was wearing a qitri garment. Qitri, it is relating to qitr, which is some of the Yemeni kind of burda. Burda means like an open piece of cloth, big piece of cloth that he was wearing around himself, like a cloak, or you know, like a blanket, a light blanket, but one would wrap it around himself. Okay, so he had this kind of piece of cloth that he covered himself with it, covered his shoulders with it. Tawashaha bihi means he had it covering his shoulders. Fasalla bihim, and he led them in the prayer while he was wearing that. Okay, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا استجد ثوبا سماه باسمه. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم got a new garment or item of clothing, he would name it with its name, إمامة أو قميصا أو رداء, whether it is a إمامة, the head cover, the cover that covers the whole head, أو قميصا, or a shirt, the long shirt, أو رداء, or the garment that you wear on the upper half of your body. And then he would say, Allahumma laka alhamdu kama kasawtani as'aluka khayrahu wa khayra ma suni'a lah wa a'udhu bika min sharrihi wa sharri ma suni'a lah, which means, O Allah, praise be to you as you, or because you have granted me this item of clothing. I ask you of its good and the good for which it was made, and I ask, seek your protection from its evil and the evil for which it was made. What does it mean that he named it with its name? It means that when he says this dua, he would say the name of that item of clothing. Like say, O Allah, praise be to you because you have granted me this shirt or this garment or this this imama, or this izar, or this rida, whatever it is. So he names that item of clothing that Allah gave him, and then he asks him, O Allah, I ask you to grant me of its good and the good that it was made for, and protect me from its evil and the evil for which it was created. Because as followers, when the people make something, they may have some good purposes in mind for it, and they may have evil purposes in mind for it. Okay, and this applies to items of clothing. It applies to other things, as we know. Some people make, for example, the TV with the intention that it will be used for good reasons, but we know that mostly it is used for evil purposes. And this is same is true about cars. The same is true about computer, the same is true about anything that people make. Some of them make it for a good purpose, some of them make it for an evil purpose. And he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal to grant him of the good that was made for, and protect him from the evil for which that was created. This hadith tells us that he used to wear different items of clothing, of course, and what dua he said when he wore them. Now, another hadith reported by Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, كان أحب الثياب إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبسه الحبرة. And this is very identical in text to the hadith of Salama, who said that the most beloved or favorite clothing to Rasulullah was al-qamis, the long shirt. Here he says al-habira, and as he says, the most favorite item of clothing to Rasulullah was al-habira. And al-habira is a Yemeni kind of clothing that is probably like a cloak. And he says here in the footnote, it is some Yemeni type of clothing, like a burda. And the burda is also something that you wear to cover most of the body, like the rida, but it is longer. Wallahu a'lam. It is made of cotton or some other materials. And muhabbara means decorated, so it has some kind of decoration on it. Okay. On bin Abi Juhayfa reported from his father, we saw this earlier, alayhi hullatun hamra. He said, I saw the Prophet ﷺ and he was wearing a red over garment, hulla. كأني أنظر إلى بريق ساقيه, and as if I was able, as if I can see now the shining of his shins, which means the hulla was not going down to his ankles, of course, it still showed his shins, his legs, and he's saying as if I can look now at the brightness or the whiteness of his shins or his legs. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عليكم بالبياض من الثياب ليلبسها أحياؤكم وكفنوا فيها موتاكم فإنها من خير ثيابكم. This is a command. It's not, does not describe what he did. It describes what he recommended sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I recommend to you the white clothing, the light white colored clothing. Let your living ones wear it and wrap your dead ones with it, because it is among the best of your clothing. Another report, he says, wear the white. This is reported by Samura radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ilbisu al-bayad, wear the white clothing, fa'innaha athar wa atyab, because it is more pure and good. وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهَا مَوْتَاكُمْ, and wrap your dead ones with them. Aisha radiallahu anha said, خَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ ذَاتَ غَدَى وَعَلَيْهِ مِرْطٌ مِنْ شَعْرٍ أَسْوَدٍ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, she's saying, once left or came out in the morning, in the middle of the day, and he was covered, he was wrapping himself with a mirt. And mirt is also something like a blanket or something that you wrap, a sheet that you wrap around all of your body. And in one of her other ahadith, Aisha radiallahu anha reports, and this will be, you'll see in my new book on menses, She says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying at night when he was covered with a mirt, which means same, a sheet that belonged to her. So he was wrapping himself with it, and part of the sheet was covering her, and he was praying with it, and she was in menses at that time. So he came out from his house while he's covered with a mirt, which is this kind of garment or sheet, min sha'rin aswad, it is made from black hair. And black hair means, you know, a hide of probably, or it is made from the hide or from the wool of goats or animals like that. المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه reported that إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لبس جبة رومية ضيقة الكمين. He wore, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wore a Roman cloak which had tight sleeves. It had tight sleeves, and it is called Roman cloak, which is either it was made by the Romans, or else it is known to be of a style that came from the way of the Romans. So this is in regard to his clothing. In regard to his khuf and shoes, Abdullah bin Buraida reports from his father that Al-Najashi أهدى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خفين أسودين ساذجين فلبسهما ثم توضأ ومسح عليهما. He sent a gift to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, a pair of black khufs, and Al-Najashi was the king of Al-Habasha at that time. Or Al-Najashi is a title, like you say Caesar or some other title, king, whatever. So in Al-Habasha, their kings used to be called, or Pharaoh in Egypt, their king used to be called Al-Najashi. And his name was Ashama or Ashuma, this particular king that embraced Islam in secret, as you know. And he died on the year ninth year of Al-Hijrah. And the Prophet ﷺ told his companions of his death, and he led them in prayer, in jama'ah prayer, in janazah prayer on him when he died. Rahimahullah. Okay, sadajaini means they are pure in color. So when he says two khufs which are black, and they are pure black, which means their color was pure black. So he wore them, and then when he performed wudu, he made masah over them. So he did not take them off to perform wudu. And Abu Ishaq reported from Al-Sha'bi that Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu said, أهدى دحية للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خفين فلبسهما. دحية, which means دحية الكلبي, that we said he was a companion that when Jibreel came down, he came in a form, when he took a human form, came in a form similar to him. So this Sahabi gave a gift to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which was خفين, two خفs, and he wore them. So it shows that he used to wear the khuf. And what is the khuf? We see the khuf that is people wear in our times, which is a leather kind of socks, you can say, or foot cover that covers the whole foot. So whether this was the same in those times or not, we don't know. But we would assume that it's the same, so this is what we know about it right now. And as for the other shoes, the other types of shoes that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Qatada said, قلت لأنس بن مالك كيف كان نعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لهما قبالان. He said, I asked Anas, how was the shoe of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, or the sandals of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, because نعل most commonly used to mean what we in our today's terminology call it sandals. So he said, how were they? And he said, it had qibalan. And al-qibalan means ash-shisa. And it means it had the two holders, or like pieces that cover the toes. What do you call it in English? Is there a name for that in English? Maybe straps, yeah. Draw it. I'm tied here with those wires and cables and all that. But yeah, I need to free myself a little bit to be able to move. So yeah, if you bring it closer, that will help, inshallah. Can practice my drawing skills. Okay, I have shoes like this, and won't work like this. I'll do it in two dimensions maybe. Okay, the shoes would have something here to hold them. And I mean, I can bring you, we can bring a shoe, a pair of shoes to show you how, but, you know, there's in the front something to hold, some straps to go around the toes, so that the sandals will hold to the foot, so that it would not slip off. Okay? So, maybe straps is a good word for that. But in Arabic it's called chasa. Or shirak. Ash-chasa or shirak or qibal. So there are different words for them. And there is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ tells us that Allah Azza wa Jal, that a person should make istirja, which means say inna Allah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, whenever a distress or an affliction hits him, even if it is something to that in regard to the shasa of his shoes, which means the straps of his shoes or his sandals, if they are cut, if he says inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he gets a reward for that. So here it says that they had two straps. The sandals of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two straps, and similarly, even this is a report by Anas Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said similarly, كان لنعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قبالان مثني شراكهما, which means شراك هو أحد سيور النعل يكون على وجهها. It is the straps that are on the upper side of the sandals, which is what we are most familiar with, of course. So he says they are mathni, which means it is made double. It is doubled. So there are double straps on the upper side of the sandals. Okay, and also similarly, Isa ibn Tahman said, أَخْرَجَ إِلَيْنَا أَنَسُ بْنُ مَالِكِ نَعْلَيْنِ جَرْدَوَيْنِ لَهُمَا قِبَالَانِ, which means Anas ibn Malik showed us a pair of sandals, جَرْدَوَيْنِ, which means they did not have hair on them. Because they make them, of course, they used to make them from skin, from animal skin. And sometimes they had hair on them, and sometimes without hair. So here in this case he showed them, Anas showed a pair of sandals, two sandals that did not have hair on them, لهما قبالان, and they had two straps each, which means فحدثني ثابت بعد عن أنس. Later on ثابت told me that Anas told him أنهما كانتا نعلي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that those two shoes or sandals were the Prophet's sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ubayd ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was asked by a person called Ubayd ibn Jurayj. He said, I saw you wearing an-ni'al al-sibtiyya. I saw you wearing sandals that are sibti. And sibti, as he says here, means that they have no hair on them. Nisbatan lis-sibti bikasr as-sin wa huwa julud al-baqar al-madbugha لأنها شعرها ثبت وسقط عنها بالدباغ. They are made from cow hide, that they dyed them, and by dyeing them the hair falls off. So Anas bin Malik liked to wear the same kind of sandals that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore, which did not have hair or the hair on them. So he says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wear, إني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبس النعال التي ليس فيها شعر. I saw him wear sandals that have no hair on them, ويتوضأ فيها, and he used to perform wudu while wearing them. فأنا أحب أن ألبسها. So I like also to wear them. So this is what I said about Ibn Umar earlier. that he did things similar to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his actions. So if you like somebody and you like, so you like everything that he does. If you love somebody, extreme love like our love should be for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then if a person knows how that beloved one used to act and behave and do and like and dislike, and imitates him in that, then he is rewarded if that person is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, "Kana lina'i Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qibalan." Same thing. So this comes from different narrations that the shoes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these two straps. And Amr ibn Hurayth said, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying in a pair of shoes, makhsufatayn." Makhsufatayn means they are patched. So he was wearing sandals or shoes, sandals, na'alayn, that were patched. And this shows that it is permissible, of course, as we know, to pray in your sandals. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I think we read this earlier, yesterday. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب التيمن ما استطاع. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to love starting with the right side as much as possible. في ترجله وتناوله وطهوره. When he groomed his hair, when he wore his shoes, and when he performed wudu. Wearing fingers, wearing rings. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ورق وكان فصه حبشيا, which means the ring of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was made of silver and the center part of it, the name for it in English, center part of the ring where sometimes there is a piece of diamond or some other kind mesh. The mesh of the ring was Habashiya, Abyssinian, from Al Habasha. And it says from Al Habasha because its metal was made or from Al Habasha. It was made from little beads that had white and black color in them, and metal from Al-Habasha. And you know, this is the ring that he used to use as a seal as well, or a stamp, to stamp the letters with it. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said that أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتخذ خاتما من فضة فكان يختم به ولا يلبسه. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a ring made of silver. He used to use it as a seal or a stamp, but he did not wear it. Anas said, كان خاتم النبي من فضة فصه منه. The ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made of silver, and its fuss is part of it. Same thing, the niche, or the middle part of it. Now the word, this part, in Arabic, it can be fuss, or fuss, or fiss. All three are correct tashkil, or ways of saying the same word, which means the place where the beads, or the diamond, or the pearl, or whatever is put on the ring goes. Anas radiallahu anhu reported also, كان نقش خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد سطر ورسول سطر والله سطر, which means the inscription on the ring of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was one line for Muhammad and one line for Rasul and one line for Allah. So it was something like this: Muhammad or Rasulullah, each one on a line by itself. Also another report, authentic report from Anas, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to send letters to Kisra and Qaisar and Najashi. So he was told they do not accept letters unless they are stamped with a seal or a stamp. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a ring made for him with its circle made of silver, and he had the inscription on it, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and it is as if I can look now at its whiteness in his palm, in the palm of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what Anas is saying. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, ittakhadha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam khatama min warq. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wore or had a ring made of silver for him. فَكَانَ فِي يَدِي, and it was in his hand. ثُمَّ كَانَ فِي يَدِي أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَدِي عُمَرٍ, and then it was in the hand of Abu Bakr and the hand of Umar. ثُمَّ كَانَ فِي يَدِي عُثْمَان, and then it was in the hand of Uthman رضي الله عنه. حَتَّى وَقَعَ فِي بِئْرِ أَرِيس, until that ring fell in the well of Aris. And Aris, it هي بئر بحديقة قريبة من مسجد قباء. It is a well in a field, in a garden place near the Masjid of Qiba, which means in the you know where the Masjid of Qiba is, right? Anybody knows where the Masjid of Qiba is? Exactly, it's the first masjid that was made. It was made, the Prophet ﷺ made it in Medina before he made his masjid, Masjid al-Nabawi. So it seems that Uthman was there probably performing wudu or something, and the ring slipped off his hand and was lost. And I don't know if the people consider, those who dislike Uthman radiallahu anhu, like the Shia, if they consider this as one of the evils of Uthman, that he lost the ring of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they have a long list of things against him, and all of them are fabricated and baseless things. And you know, I'm working right now. I was this morning cleaning a file that I have, which has which is a translation of the book Al-Awasim Min Al-Qawasim by Abu Bakr bin Al-Arabi rahimahullah, in which he refutes, he shows the how the fitna started among the Muslims, and how Uthman was assassinated, how Ali radiallahu anhu was assassinated, and how all these problems came up among the Muslims, how Uthman radiallahu anh argued or debated with those people who wanted to assassinate him. And he showed them that they were wrong in what they were accusing him of, but they still insisted on killing him radiallahu anh. And this book shows in detail the response to the claims of the Shia and people like them who attributed evil or accused Uthman and Ali and the other Sahaba of many wrong and evil things. So maybe sometime inshallah we can go over this book and you know, learn a lot about the true history, or at least know what is the wrong history that we should unlearn in regard to that period, early period of the time of Islam. Anyways, so this is in regard to the khatam or the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as you see that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu Whereas he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use his ring for stamping without wearing it. In the other hadith, he says that also from him, and both of them are authentic. The first one is recorded by Ahmad and others, and Al-Albani says it is authentic according to the conditions of both Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The other one is recorded by Al-Bukhari and Al-Nasai. And the other one, he says, it was in his hand, which means he used to wear it all the time, and then it was worn by Umar, and then Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. So how we understand the two? Allahu Alam. Allahu Alam. Unless he meant in the other hadith that it was in his hand, so it was with him all the time, but he did not wear it. But we will see from other reports that he used to wear it in his right hand. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu reported that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يلبس خاتمه في يمينه. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to wear his ring in his right hand. And Hamad bin Salama said رأيت ابن أبي رافع, I saw the son of Abu Rafi wearing his finger in his right hand. I asked him about that, why you wear it in the right hand, and he said, I saw Abdullah bin Ja'far. Abdullah bin Ja'far, and you know Ja'far bin Abi Talib is the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib, who was martyred or stushed in the battle of Mu'ta. So his son Abdullah was wearing his ring in his right hand. And Abdullah bin Ja'far said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتختم في يمينه. He said Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear his ring in his right finger. His ring in his right finger. Jabir bin Abdullah رضي الله عنهما reported the same thing, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to wear his ring in his right finger. And the same is reported from Ibn Abbas. This other report by Ibn Umar is also in Al-Bukhari, and it is more clear that Rasulullah ﷺ used to wear his ring in his finger, because it says the Prophet ﷺ wore a silver, or had a silver ring, and he made its filth مما يلي كفة, on the side of his palm, which means he used to wear it so that the niche of the ring was on the inside, from the inside of his palm. Okay, and he used to use it for stamping, so maybe he used to stamp with it like this and not like this. Allahu Alam. And it is the one which fell, وهو الذي سقط في معيقيبة في بئر أريس. And it is the one that fell down in معيقيب, in the well of أريس. وهو الذي سقط من معيقيب. Sorry, معيقيب. It is the one that fell down from معيقيب in the well of Aris. Okay, now he explains who is Mu'ayqib. أسلم قديما وشهد بدرا وهاجر إلى الحبشة. He is a Sahabi who embraced Islam early on, and then he witnessed the battle of Badr, and he's of those who made Hijra to Al-Habasha, and he used to be in charge of the ring of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was appointed by Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman in charge of Bayt al-Mal, in charge of the treasury of the Muslims. Okay, so he had the ring because he needed it, it seems, for some of his official work, and he is the one from whom. So it was when it says Uthman, it fell from Uthman. Probably that was not an accurate It didn't say actually. ثم كان في يد عثمان حتى وقع في بئر أريس. It was in the hand of Uthman, means in the hold of Uthman. So it was in the charge of Uthman until it fell in the well of Aris, and it did not fall from the hand of Uthman, but from the hand of the one who had it with him, which is, as you heard, his name is Mu'ayqib, one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خاتم من ذهب فكان يلبسه في يمينه فاتخذ الناس خواتيم من ذهب فطرحه وقال لا ألبسه أبدا فطرح الناس خواتيمهم, which means that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had a golden ring. He used to wear a gold ring and he used to wear it in his right hand, and then other people started wearing gold rings, and then رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم took it off and threw it away, and he said, I will never wear it. It seemed that that was at the point when gold was prohibited for men, so he took it off and threw it away, which means removed it from his hand, and he said, I will never wear it. And the other people, which means men, did the same with their rings, they took them off. Are we supposed to continue or stop here? 3:30, we stop at 3:30 in 5 minutes. Inshallah. Okay, I'm going to skip over a few things because that is taking much too long. And for instance, you know, describing the sword and the shield of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mighfar, the thing that he used to wear on his head to protect him during the fighting, like a helmet. All of this, I will skip on it with just the quick mention that he used to have this kind of equipment for war and for fighting. The imama. The Prophet ﷺ used to wear an imama sometimes, and the imama is a cover that covers the whole head. It's a head cover. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported, دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكة يوم الفتح وعليه إمامة سوداء. The Prophet ﷺ entered Mecca on the day of Al-Fatah, when he conquered Mecca, and he was wearing a black imama. And Amr ibn Hurayth reported, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَطَبَ النَّاسَ وَعَلَيْهِ إِمَامَةٌ سَوْدَاءَ. He delivered a khutbah to the people, addressed the people while he was wearing a black imama. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا عَتَمَّ سَدَلَ إِمَامَتَهُ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْنِ. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم wore an imama, he would let it drop, which means a part of it between his shoulders. Nafi' said, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to do that too. And Ubaidullah said, رأيت القاسم بن محمد وسالما يفعلان ذلك. I saw Al-Qasim bin Muhammad and Salim, the son of Ibn Umar, both doing that as well. Al-Qasim bin Muhammad is the grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then Ibn Umar, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported, خطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس وعليه إمامة سوداء, similar to the previous hadith by Amr ibn Hurayth, that he gave a khutbah صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was wearing a black imama. Now this does not mean that he always wore a black imama. First of all, it doesn't mean that he always wore an imama, because we know that he did not always wear an imama. Sometimes he did not wear anything, sometimes he wore some other kinds of head cover. And then the other thing is that it doesn't have to mean that he always wore a black imama, like what the Shia mostly do nowadays. And thirdly, it doesn't mean that the imama is like what some people do it, like that it's, it has to be tied around and then coming in between the shoulders, down between the shoulders. It doesn't have to be like that, because the imamah from amma, which means covered. So it's something that covers the whole head. And he used to wear it, so it's probably tied, it may be tied so that it doesn't fly off with the air, but it doesn't mean that it has so many turns around the head like some people do. And some people, as you know, from especially the Sham area of Middle East, they the mashayikh over there, they wear a imamah which is huge in size, and that comes from some of the Ottoman or Turkish cultures. So I don't know how they can withstand the weight of the imamah on their head, because it's indeed very heavy. I mean, if you try to carry it, and I've seen people wrapping it, they need a lot of cloth to make such an imamah. So it's a waste of material, and it is inconvenient, heavy, and it's not according to the sunnah. And the bigger the imamah, they believe or they think, the more knowledgeable the scholar is. So this is all baseless. And the imamah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was something simple, that a piece, it would probably a little white piece of cloth, that he would just put it over his head and tie it just to keep it on his head so that the air would not blow it off. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, I think we should stop here. Let's see, we covered the discussion of the imamah. There's some more discussion of some other actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can do that in the next part, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah. I will mention some about the sweet fragrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this was part of his description that we skipped over, just for to complete that part of the discussion once and for all. Anas radiallahu anhu said, ma shamantu raihatan qattu miskatan wala ambaratan atyab min raihati rasulillah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ولا مسست شيئا قط خزة ولا حريرة ألين من كف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Which means he's saying, Anas is saying, I have never smelled anything, whether it's musk or amber, better in smell than the smell or the fragrance of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I have never touched anything, whether it's silk, khaz, or harir, both two different kinds of silk, more soft than the hand or the palm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas also radiallahu anhu reported, دخل علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال عندنا فعرق. Rasulullah ﷺ came to us and he napped in our house and he sweated. And which is his house? If you, I mentioned this earlier, if you remember, which was the house of Anas? He said he came to us, he visited us. What he means by us? I mentioned this earlier, the just before the break. Who is Anas's mother? His mother is one of the famous Sahabiyat that was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many of his travels and wars, and her name is Sulaim, and she was a wife. Her first husband was Malik, the father of Anas, and he died as a kafir. He never embraced Islam. And then she married Abu Talha. And Abu Talha was one of the wealthiest men of Al-Madinah. But she did not, as Mahar, she did not want from him anything. She could have asked for lots of properties and wealth, but she only wanted as her Mahar his embracing Islam. And indeed he became a Muslim, and he became one of the good Muslims. He was one of the Muslims who stood, who made a very strong stand with the Prophet ﷺ, for example, in the Battle of Uhud. When everybody else ran away, Abu Talha was protecting the Prophet ﷺ in a very strong manner. So Abu Talha, the father-in-law of Anas, and Sulaim is his mother. And some people say that there is possibly a relationship between the Prophet ﷺ and Sulaim, a nursing relationship, like she is his brother, a mother, a sister or nephew or something like that in nursing. So Allahu Alam, because he used to go and visit her and her sister, which is what's her name? Rumaitha, I think. No, Sulaim is a Rumaitha, but she had another sister, and the Prophet ﷺ used to go and visit them, their houses both, and sometimes nap in their houses, they invite him for food and so on. So he came to their house and he took a nap in the house of Sulaim radiallahu anha. And he sweated. وَجَاءَتْ أُمِّي بِقَارُورَةٍ فَجَعَلَتْ تَسْلُتُ الْعَرَقَ فِيهَا. So when the sweat was coming out from the size of the neck of the Prophet ﷺ or some other parts of his body, his mother came, Sulaim, and she brought a small bottle and she started collecting that little sweat into the bottle. تَسْلُتُ الْعَرَقَ فِيهَا. فاستيقظ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا أم سليم ما هذا الذي تصنعين. So he woke up صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, oh, سليم, what is this you are doing? قالت هذا عرقك نجعله في طيبنا وهو من أطيب الطيب. She said, this is your sweat, we mix it with our perfumes and it is of the best of perfumes. So this is shows the purity of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Samura, Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu said, I prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salat al-ula thumma kharaja ila ahlihi wa kharajtu ma'ahu fastaqbalahu wildanun faja'ala yamsahu khadday ahadihim wahidan wahidan. Salat al-ula, the first prayer, probably he refers to the Fajr prayer. So it says, I prayed with him that prayer, the first prayer. Then he went to his families, his relatives and so on, and I went with him, or maybe to his family, to his wives, the direction of his houses, and I went with him. And he was met by some kids, some boys, and he started rubbing over their faces, rubbing their faces one by one after the other. So it shows the kindness of the Prophet ﷺ with the little kids. وَأَمَّا أَنَا فَمَسَحَ خَدَّيِّ فَمَسَحَ خَدِّي. And as for me, he also rubbed my face, or passes that over my face. Seems that Samura probably was a young boy at that time. Allahu Alam, we need to refer to his biography also to see how old he was during the time the Prophet ﷺ was in Al-Madinah. فوجدت ليده بردا أو ريحا كأنما أخرجها من جونة عطار. And I found that his hand had coolness and smell or fragrance as if he just took it out from the جونة or جونة عطار, from the container that the one who sells perfumes, the merchant of perfume, puts his perfume in it. And there is a similar report from Abu Juhayfa radiallahu anhu, that he took the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put it on his face, and he found that it is cool like ice, and you know in the desert it's so hot and sticky and so on, but his hand was cool. وَأَطْيَبَ رَيْحَةٍ مِنَ الْمِسْكِ وَأَطْيَبُ رَيْحَةً مِنَ الْمِسْكِ, and of sweeter fragrance than musk. Okay, I will describe also the Khatam al-Nubuwa, since we have mentioned it so many times, and you know, as we said, it is probably part of the signs of his prophethood, but we'll talk about it anyways, because also it's part of his bodily description. Khatam al-Nubuwa, or the seal of prophethood. Abdul Rahman ibn As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu said, ذهبت بي خالتي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن ابن أختي وجع فمسح رأسي ودعا لي بالبركة. He says, my aunt took me to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and she said, oh Allah's messenger, this nephew of mine, the son of my sister, is ill. So he says, he passed his hand over my face, he rubbed my head, and he made dua with barakah, that Allah bless me. فَتَوَضَّأَ فَشَرِبْتُ مِنْ وَضُوءِهِ, and then he performed wudu, and I drank from the water that he used for the wudu. وَقُمْتُ خَلْفَ ظَهْرِهِ, and there are many narrations where the Sahaba would drink from the remains of the wudu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this means, you know, there would be a container. They used to use containers that have water in them. Take the water from them and use them for wudu. So there would be some water left there, which is water that he touched a number of times with his hands sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's what they drank for the blessing that is in his hands. Now, one thing that we need to mention here is that some people, some scholars, unfortunately, such as Imam al-Nawawi, some big scholars like Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah and others, generalize, and they say, since the Prophet ﷺ did this, or the people did this with him, therefore it's recommended to do it for righteous people. Not about this particular matter, but about things somewhat similar. That the Prophet ﷺ was a righteous man, the most righteous of righteous, and the people drank the remains of his wudu. So maybe now, if you drank the remains of the wudu of somebody like a righteous man, a scholar, etc., that will benefit you. But this barakah is only for the Prophet ﷺ. We cannot assume it for anyone after him, even for the greatest of the Sahaba like Abu Bakr and Umar. We don't have any reports that anybody came to them and asked them to perform wudu and took the remains of the water and used it for blessings. Okay, so an example would be that is people usually make mistakes in is the tahniq, that the people used to bring their children to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bite on some dates, and then pass that date that he chewed a little bit over, or put it in the mouth of the little baby to suck on it, and that is called tahniq. So you find people saying that therefore it's recommended when you have a newborn to take him to a good or righteous man and have him do tahniq for your baby. And there is no proof at all that this is recommended. It is recommended, it was done by the Prophet ﷺ because of the blessing in his saliva and in his body. And we cannot claim this to anyone after him. Even as the same thing, even for the Sahaba like Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, nobody brought their children to them and asked them to make tahniq for them. Okay? So we have to be careful when we read these narrations about the blessings in the Prophet ﷺ, that Allah put in his Prophet ﷺ, that we do not generalize and say, therefore, anyone else after him who is considered by the people as righteous has the same kind of blessings. So he says, I drank the remains of his wudu, which means the water that was left, and وَقُمْتُ خَلْفَ ظَهْرِ, and then I stood behind his back, فَنَظَرْتُ إِلَى الْخَاتَمِ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ, and I looked at the khatam, or the seal, or the mark between his shoulders, فَإِذَا هُوَ مِثْلُ زَرِّ الْحَجَلَةِ, and I saw that it is like the bottom of hajala. I'll mention what it is, describe what it is. It's, I don't know, canopy maybe? Canopy? What's canopy in English? Canopy. What is a canopy? Huh? Tree cover? Okay, so that's what it is. So it says like, you know, they use canopy for to protect from mosquitoes in some countries. I don't know, I mean, if you have seen it, but it's, huh? Mosquito mesh, or what do you call it?
Mesh.
Yeah, mesh. So it's like a canopy, right? It's like a tent that you put it over your bed when you go to sleep so that the mosquitoes will not go through it. Or some beds use this only just for decoration, like for brides or people like that, right? So this is tied all together in one place at the top. And that place where it's tied, it's called Zirr al-Habasha. That's what they call it in those times. So هو الزر يشد على سرير العروس والحجلة هي السكة وهي شبه الناموسية تضرب للعروس. So which means it's quite large. This seal that was on the back of the Prophet is quite large. And this also indicates that the Prophet had his shirt open from the back, and that the shirt was probably tied in a way that it was worn in a way that it's tied from the back, not the front. And Jabir bin Samurah radiallahu anhu said, رَأَيْتُ الْخَاتَمَ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ غُدَّةً حَمْرَاءَ مِثْلَ بَيْضَةِ الْحَمَامَةِ. He said, I saw the khatam or the seal between the shoulders of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, a red mark or red mole like the size, it means in size, like a pigeon's egg in size. I don't know a pigeon's egg, it would be probably what? Like your thumb's size or a little smaller than a thumb. So 1 inch by 1.5 inches or 2 inches in cross section. Abdullah bin Sarjis radiallahu anhu said, رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودخلت عليه وأكلت من طعامه وشربت من شرابه ورأيت خاتم النبوة في نقب كتفه اليسرى كأنه جمع خيلان أو خيلان سود كأنها ثأليم. Now he says, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I entered his house, I ate from his food, drank from his drink, and I saw the seal of prophethood in the upper side of his left shoulder. So it was between his shoulders, it seems, but closer to the left side. كَأَنَّهُ جُمْعُ خَيْلَانٍ أو خيلانٍ سودٍ كأنها ثأليل. I am not sure what the meaning of this جمع خيلانٍ. It's collection of black hairs, maybe that's what it means, as if they are marks like scratches or something like that. Allahu A'lam. There's one more hadith about the khatam or the seal, it says, it's reported by Khalid bin Khalid bin Sa'id, she said, I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my father, and I was wearing a yellow shirt. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sana, Sana. And this is an Abyssinian expression, or seems that there was some similarity between the Abyssinian and the Arabic language, or something in common between them, because, and he probably sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew some of the words in the Abyssinian. So in Arabic it would say Hasana, Hasana, which means nice, nice. So it seems that she was a young girl and she was wearing a shirt, a yellow shirt, so she was saying, yeah, nice, nice. Sana, Sana, which means Hasana, Hasana. قال فذهبت ألعب بخاتم النبوة, and I went and started playing with his seal of prophethood. So she went from behind him and she was playing with that. فزبرني أبي, and my father yelled at me. زجرني ونهاني, حتينا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is in Sahih Bukhari. It says وروى البخاري على هذا الحديث في مواضع من كتابه منها باب من تكلم بالفارسية والرطانة. Al-Bukhari put included this hadith under several chapters of his book, among which is the chapter of permission to speak with languages other than Arabic, like Persian and so on. And among them, بَابُ مَنْ تَرَكَ صَبِيَّةَ غَيْرِهِ تَلْعَبُ مَعَهُ, permitting the young girl of somebody else, the little girl, the child, of someone else to play with him. So that this is not wrong. وَفِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ بِالصِّغَارِ وَمُدَاعَبَتُهُمْ, and it shows the mercy towards the little kids and being playful with them. وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ قَالَ لَهَا, and in one of the reports in Bukhari also, he said to her, to this sahabiyya, young sahabiyya, Khalid bint Khalid bin Sa'id, he told her, أَبْلِي وَأَخْلِقِي مَرَّتَيْنِ. Seems that the shirt she was wearing was new, so he was making the dua for her, أَبْلِي وَأَخْلِقِي, which means let it be worn out and replace it, so it is always have something new. May you always have some new clothing. وَفِي إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ عَلَى الضَّيْفِ وَإِكْرَامِهِ, and it shows that it is good to please the guests and honor them. وَفِي هَذَا قَالَ أَبْلِي وَأَخْلِقِي ثَلَاثٍ وَفِي هَذِي, etc. So it shows, you know, how many lessons the ulama sometimes derive from just a short hadith like this. And it has in it the description of the khatam of the prophethood. Al-Ghudda, he says here, Jabir, the hadith of Jabir, that he said that the seal of prophethood, that between the shoulders of the Prophet ﷺ was like a red Ghudda, مثل بيضة الحمامة. Ghudda means a piece of flesh. So it's a red piece, like a red piece of flesh. And it's the size of the egg of a pigeon. Here's another hadith that was not mentioned in the other book. It says, Abu Zayd Amr bin Akhtab al-Ansari said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Ya Abu Zayd, Udnu minni famsah dhahri. O Abu Zayd, come close to me and rub my back. فَمَسَحْتُ ظَهْرَهُ, and I rubbed his back. فَوَقَعَتْ أَصَابِعِي عَلَى الْخَاتَمِ, and my fingers fell on the seal. قلت وما الخاتم, so he was asked by the one who's from whom he's who's reporting from him, and what is the this seal. قال شعرات مجتمعات, it is a bunch of hairs gathered together. So it seems that it was like a mole. You know, probably have seen small moles, but it was larger in size, the size of a small egg, a pigeon's egg, and it had hair on them. And as you know, that this was a sign of his prophethood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was known by some of the people of the book who heard of this prior to his coming, or read about this in their books prior to his coming, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, now here, this proves what I just said. It's the part of the long hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. This is reported by Buraida. He said, "Jaa Salman al-Farisi." Salman al-Farisi came to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Al-Madinah. بِمَائِدَةٍ عَلَيْهَا رُطَبٍ. He brought in front of him a tray with palm dates on it. فَوَضَعَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he put them in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asked him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا سلمان ما هذا؟ O Salman, what is this? فقال صدقة عليك وعلى أصحابي. This is charity for you and your companions. فقال ارفعها فإننا نأكل الصدقة. He said, take it because we do not, or we are not allowed to eat صدقة. And in some of the reports we know that he told his companions to eat from it, but he did not eat, صلى الله عليه وسلم. فرفعها. So he took that. فجاء الغداء بمثله. Then the following day he brought the same, and he put it in front of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he asked him the same, and he said, هدية لك. This is a gift for you. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه ابسطوا. So he said to his companions, go ahead and eat. And it's not clear, he doesn't say, but he ate with them. For the first time he refused to eat with them. The second day he ate with them. ثم نظر إلى الخاتم على ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أو الخاتم على وجه على ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then he looked at the seal on the back of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فأمن به. And you know, this is very brief, but other forms of this hadith which have more detail tell us that these are signs that he read in the books that he read before embracing Islam, that this prophet will not eat sadaqah, but will eat from the gift. And that's why he was testing this. First day he gave him sadaqah, and he refused to eat. So he said, this is proof that this applies to him. This is one of them, one of the signs. And then the following day he ate from the gift. So he said, this is the second one. And then the third thing he saw was the seal of prophethood on his back, which was according to the description. And then, so he believed in him. فَآمَنَ بِهِ وَكَانَ لِلْيَهُودِ. So he belonged to the Jews, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم bought it from them. And so on. So there is no need to go much into the detail, because you know the hadith of Salman is very long, and you can find it in other various places. Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu was asked about the khatam, or the khatim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means the seal of prophethood, and he said it was like a piece and a protruding piece of flesh in his back. Okay, now here, this is what I was hoping, that they will explain the meaning of khilan. This is the hadith, the same hadith of Abdullah bin Sarjis, when he said, I went and stood behind him. He says, I came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was among some of his companions. So I circled around and went behind him. فَأَلْقَ الرِّدَاءَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ. It seems that he had rida, this upper garment, the thing that you wear on the upper garment that you wear on your shoulders, like in Hajj. So he had it covering his shoulders and his back. But when he saw him circle from behind him, فَعَرَفَ الَّذِي أُرِيدُ. He knew what I was looking for. فَأَلْقَ الرِّدَى عَنْ ظَهْرِ. So he removed the rida off his back. فَرَأَيْتُ مَوْضِعَ الْخَاتِمِ. I saw the place or the location of the khatim, بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ, between his shoulders. مِثْلَ الْجُمَى, like the fists in shape, not in size. Like the fist, that's what Jum'ah means, when you gather your fingers together. حَوْلَهَا خِيلًا. Around it are black dots. what you call it in English, beauty marks, these little dots that, you know, appear on different, you know, on the skin. You see them on different places on your skin. They call them, I think, beauty marks in English, or beauty spots, huh? No, other than the birthmarks. Not the mole. The mole is, yeah, it's protruding, but this is not. This is just a black mark on the face, on the neck, on the other parts of the body. On the face is beauty mark. Okay, but not on the toes or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what it is. But now you know what it is. So hawlaha khilan, there are these black spots around it. So it is like a piece of flesh with black dots around it. كَأَنَّهَا ثَأَلِينَ. They are like little candles around it. ثَأَلِيلَ كَمَصَابِيحَ. No, كَمَصَابِيحَ جَمَعَ ثُؤْلُولَ كَعُصْفُورَ وَهُوَ خراج صغير كالحمص أو يظهر على الجسد له نتوء واستدارة. Actually, all these were protruding around it. So it's like a small protruding piece of flesh with hair on it, and it has also these black protruding marks circling it as well. Okay, so other words, something like this. And it's even of this. No, this is too big. It would be probably around this size. I hope that it's clear on the recording. With the hairs covering it, and then there are these dots all around it. Okay, something like this. فَرَجَعْتُ حَتَّى اسْتَقْبَلْتُ. He says, after I saw it, I turned around until I was facing him. فَقُلْتُ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And I said, may Allah forgive you, O Allah's Messenger. فَقَالَ وَلَكَ. He said, and also to you. فَقَالَ الْقَوْمُ اسْتَغْفَرَ لَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So the people told him, Allah's Messenger has asked for forgiveness for you. فَقَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes. So he was happy that he got this dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Naam, yes, I did. Wa lakum, and also may Allah forgive you, the other people who were present." ثم تلا هذه الآية. Then he recited the ayah, واستغفر لذنبك وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات, and ask forgiveness for your sins and the sins of the believing men and women. So much for the description of the seal of prophethood. Now we continue from where we stopped a little earlier, which was about different actions, clothing, etc., behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the izar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, as you heard, to wear different items of clothing, but he used to like or favor some of them more than others, as any of us would. Abu Burda reported from his father that, and what, who is the father of Abu Burda? The father of Abu Burda is Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. So Abu Burda is the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And Abu Burda says, أخرجت إلينا عائشة رضي الله عنها كساء ملبدا. عائشة رضي الله عنها brought out for us, to show us, a folded piece of clothing, وإزارا غليظا, and a tough إزار. فقالت قبض روح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذين, and she said the soul of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was taken away, which means he died when he was wearing these two. And mulabbada could mean that it was all stitched. So he was wearing an all stitched garment plus an izar when he died, a tough fabric izar when he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is recorded by Muslim and Abu Dawood and others. Al-Ash'ath bin Sulaym said, I heard my aunt telling from her uncle and her name, his aunt's name is Raham and her uncle is Ubayd bin Khalid al-Muharibi. So she said, I heard my uncle say, بَيْنَا أَنَا أَمْشِي بِالْمَدِينَةِ إِذَا النَّاسُ خَلْفِي يَقُولْ اِرْفَعْ إِزَارَكْ فَإِنَّهُ أَتْقَى. While I was walking in Al-Madinah, I heard فَإِذَا إِنسَانٌ خَلْفِي يَقُولْ, I heard a man or a person behind me saying, raise your izar, because that shows more taqwa. Raise your izar, because that shows more taqwa. فَإِنَّهُ أَتْقَى. فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And I found that that was Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّمَا هِيَ بُرْدَةٌ مَلْحَى. So I said, oh Allah's Messenger, it is only a burda. Burda is a cloak or something lined or striped kind of garment. Malha means mixed white and black. Probably the stripes were black and it was white, or vice versa. Like when you say about an animal, malha, a goat, malha means white and black. So why did he say that? Probably he meant that I don't have to worry about it, because its color is not contaminated, or it does not get dirty because of the dust, so I don't have to raise it. So he was telling him, raise it, because it shows more taqwa or more cleanliness, or both, because some reports say that. So he told him, it's okay, because it's already of this color, which is not affected by dust. So he said, قَالَ أَمَا لَكَ فِيَّ أُسْوَى. Don't you take me as an example. فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا إِزَارُهُ إِلَى نِسْكِ سَاقِي. And I looked at him, and I saw that his izar reached the middle of his shins, the middle of his legs, so it was not long. And this is a very great hadith, similar to other hadith in which Rasulullah asked his companions, don't you take me as your example? So he reminds them of the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. This hadith is recorded by Al-Ahmad and Al-Bayhaqi. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu used to wear his izar also to the middle of his shins, and he used to say, هَكَذَا كَانَتْ إِزْرَةُ صَاحِبِي, يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, which means this is how the izar of my companion used to be, meaning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this, of course, we are talking about the best of humanity, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then the leader of the Ummah in his time, Uthman bin Affan, and that is how they used to wear their garments. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu said, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعضلة ساقي أو ساقي فقال. He said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم held the muscle of my leg or his leg, my shin or his shin. And the doubt here, we don't know whether, I mean, this also requires some hadith study to find where the doubt comes from. But normally doubt like this comes not from the reporter, the Sahabi, but from somebody after him. Because the Sahabi who is reporting, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, you cannot expect that he forgot whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his leg or his leg. He would remember for sure, either his own leg or my leg. But the doubt would come from somebody after him, like the Tabi'a or the Tabi'a Tabi'a. He says, I'm not sure whether he said his leg or the Prophet's leg. I'm not sure. So the doubt comes from here, okay? From a person later down. But anyways, now the doubt is there. We cannot remove it because we are not sure what Hudhayfa said exactly. But the Prophet ﷺ held a muscle, the muscle which is this big muscle in the middle of your shin, and he said, هذا موضع الإزار, this is the location of your إزار. ف فإذا أبيت فأسفل. And if you refuse, if you insist, then bring it down a little. فإذا أبيت فلا حق للإزار في الكعبين. And if you still insist, which means yes, you can still bring it a little more down, but there is no right for the ankles in any part of the izar, which means it may not go down to reach the ankles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are just a couple of narrations here, authentic narrations. One of them is actually not about sitting but about lying. It says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seen by by Abdullah bin Zayd